Proverbs chapter 31. And I believe that for the first time in my life, I am now old enough, and if you'll pardon the next word, I am old enough and wise enough to preach from this passage. When you are young and preach from Proverbs 31, you're guessing. You're just guessing. I want us to read, you follow along, we're going to read verses 10 through 31. These 22 verses are an acrostic poem. These 22 verses align with the 22 letters that make up the Hebrew alphabet. That means that the first letter in the first word of every verse coincides in order with the Hebrew alphabet. Proverbs chapter 31, let me read beginning with verse 10 through the end of this chapter. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. And he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Before we launch into the actual text of this, there are a couple of things that we need to first get into our mind and establish before we actually approach this passage of Scripture. So I want to share with you two thoughts by way of introduction. thought number one by introduction is this, and that is that the book of Proverbs is God's book on wisdom. The book of Proverbs is God's book on wisdom. Now, follow the thought here. Every time we come to Proverbs chapter 31, we do exactly what I just did. We start at verse number 10, and we read through the end of the chapter, and we focus on the worthy woman, the woman of excellence. But when we do that, brethren, we're making a big mistake. Because until you go back to the beginning of the chapter, and until you go back and see how this chapter is set up and what its background is, you don't really understand what's being said. So go back up to verse number 1. And in Proverbs chapter 31 and in verse 1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him." The passage of the worthy woman that we just read, this is a passage that was taught by a mother to her son. And now her son writes this, and her son shares with all of us what his mother had taught him. The book of Proverbs is God's book on wisdom. And the climax of God's book on wisdom are the teachings of a mother. Now look at who her son is. Her son is the king. Ma, listen to me. Mothers teach kings. The second thing I want you to notice by introduction here, now every female, listen carefully to this. The second thing you need to understand about this passage is this. Don't allow this passage to intimidate you. Listen, we read this, and here is the world's greatest woman. Here is the world's greatest wife. Here is the world's greatest mother. Here is the world's greatest businesswoman. I mean, right here, what we just read, here is the original superwoman. And what happens is that a young lady takes this chapter in hand, or even a middle-aged lady or more, they read this and they read about this woman, and then they look at their own lives and they gasp. This is supposed to be me? So understand. This was not written to intimidate you. This was written to challenge you. This was written to get you to look inside of you and to see the potential and to see the power that resides in you and about what you can become in your life. Amen? Now, let me address something else and then we'll get to the passage. Proverbs chapter 31 is going to mean different things to you in different stages of your life. When you're 16 and 17 years old, and when you read that, it will mean something to you. But when you're in your 30s, and now you are a mother, and now you are a wife, this passage will mean something completely different to you. And when you get into your 60s, and now you have grandchildren, and you are a grandmother, this passage will mean something else to you. And then when you get into your 70s, or when you get into your 80s, and now you may be alone, now you may be a widow, but now you are alone, this passage will mean something else to you at that stage of your life. Here is the wisdom of a godly woman. And everybody around her is blessed from being around her. Everybody who makes contact with her is blessed because they've done so. Now, let's go to the text, and we're going to take a look at two aspects of this woman's life. First, we want to take a look at her life in the home. What is her role that is described to us in this passage in her home? But then secondly, we're going to go back into the passage and we're going to take a look at what her role is outside of her home. So what is her role at home, and then what role did she take on outside of her home? You understand? Nobody understands. All right, number one. The worthy woman's role at home. Now again, let me say this to you, and mothers especially, and females especially. Let me say this to you. This woman excelled in everything. This woman excelled in business affairs. This woman excelled in real estate. This woman excelled in helping the poor and helping the needy. This woman excelled in merchandising business. And the other place where she excelled is that she also excelled in her home as a wife and a mother. Now, y'all can sit there and be quiet, but I'm going on with this. She had two roles at home. First of all, there was her role as a wife, or her role as a wife. That is described to us, look carefully at verse 11 and verse 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Listen, her husband fully trusts her. Look at what it says. He trusts her with his heart. The husband has full confidence in his wife. The husband has full confidence in her words, and he has full confidence in his ways, in her ways. Now listen to me. What's going on here, and don't miss this, what's going on is that she The wife is inspiring the confidence in her husband that he has in himself. You understand what I just said? He carries himself at the city gates that's talked about. He carries himself with confidence, but that confidence was inspired in him by his wife. Look at the end of verse 11. He will have no lack of gain. What does that mean? What that means is that whatever is good for him that she can provide, that's what she's going to do. Let me put it like this so we all understand. Listen, she encouraged him. She did not drain him. So here is her role as a wife at home. But then her second role at home was her role as a mother. Now, look at again at verse 1 at her son. Her son's name was Lemuel. The name Lemuel means belonging to God. She named her son belonging to God. That gives me insight on her. Now, look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, this is further evidence that what we're talking about here is an older woman. But look what it says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Listen, her children are now grown. Her children are now adults themselves. And as adults, now they are qualified to know what kind of mother they had. You ask a 3-year-old, good mother, good mommy, good mommy, good mommy. And she may not be good mommy. But when children become grown themselves, as adults, they can then look back, and as adults, they know what kind of mother they had. Now, let's dig into this deeper. In ancient Jewish society, which is where this passage is coming out. This passage is coming out of a culture of ancient Jewish society. And in ancient Jewish society, when the child turned 6 years old, the father would take the child to a tutor. And at 6 years old, that tutor would begin to educate and would begin to instruct that child. But here's the question. Who instructed that child and who taught that child before the tutor got a hold of it? Mama did. Mama did. Mother, you are the first teacher that your child ever had. Now let's pull this out of ancient society and let's talk about our own day and our own times in this society. We have problems in this society. We have problems of children having children. We have problems of children killing children. We have problems with children, even small children, who have no respect for any authority anywhere that they go. And so we want answers for all this. And we are concerned, and rightfully so, we are concerned about this generation and its children. We're all concerned, and rightfully so. But understand this, brethren, facts haven't changed. The foundation of American society is not found at the schoolhouse. And the foundation of American society is not found down at the local police precinct. And the foundation of American society, listen to me, it's not even found at the church house. The foundation of American society is found in our homes. And anybody with any sense knows that. Facts haven't changed. The only permanent solution to the problems of our society is that we have to fix the home. But the only way we can fix the home is we have to establish God in that home. Now, I don't mean that we just make God a part of the home. I mean we build the home around God. Dad, God must be first. Ma, God must be first. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter, or Psalms 127 and verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Look carefully at what that verse says. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build and labor are in vain. What does that say? What that says, brethren, is that at home, human effort alone isn't enough. That isn't enough. Building a family is a joint effort. It takes God, it takes Dad, and it takes Mom. And if God isn't the architect at home, the foundation will be unstable. Now, let me say something to the young men and to the men here. Let me say something to the men. If you are a young man, if you are a young man, the smartest thing that you will ever, ever do in your life is to find yourself a faithful Christian woman and marry her. Now, You say, why did you say that? Because that's what's going on in Proverbs 31. Here is a mother who's dealing with her son. And this mother is telling this son, the mother is teaching her son, listen, this is the kind of a woman that you need to find that you can marry, and this is the kind of woman that you want who will be a mother to your children. But here's the problem. Young people today, young men today, and young women today, listen, finding a Christian, it isn't even on the list of what they're doing. Amen. That's not even on the list of a young man. Well, what do you want? Well, I'm looking for a looker. And why would a looker look at you? Right? Oh, I want somebody who looks good. And I want somebody, oh, they dress nice. And I want somebody that got this. Listen, you can find somebody who looks good, who dresses nice, and has got all of that. You can have her and still have nothing. Happy Mother's Day. Young ladies too. Young ladies too. Oh, I'm looking for my dream boat. I've known dream boats that sunk in 6 months. Listen to me, young lady, listen to me. Does he love God? Does he love God? Can he pull his pants up? Has he ever had a job and can he keep one? You're welcome. Is that right? That's right. We got people, listen, we're out there looking and looking and looking, and we're looking at all the wrong things. Now, I'm not saying you ought to marry somebody who's ugly, but I'm saying, look. You understand what I'm saying? She's ugly, but she sure can't cook. But listen. Amen. Does he love God? Does she love God? Listen, if you wake up in the morning and she's more concerned about how her fingernails are looking than by what's going on in that home, you're going to be miserable in that home. The worthy woman loved God. The worthy woman possessed godly wisdom, and she passed that on to everybody. Now, what I'm going to share with you now is radical. This is radical. What we want to do now with this woman is we want to step out of her home and we want to take a look at this worthy woman outside her home. Watch carefully. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. Look at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and she buys it. Look at verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Look at verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to the needy. Look at verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them. Listen to me. I read this, and the first thing I think of is, when did this woman ever sleep? But here's what's radical. You have to remember the culture out of which this is coming. When this was written, in the culture that this mother lived, a woman was not even considered a person. She was not a person. And in the culture out of which this mother came, a woman's only significance was either in her husband or in her father. This mother lived in a culture that she lived under a law that said if something happened and you had two or three witnesses to testify, you could have the day. Unless the witnesses was a woman. Women were not allowed to even go into the ancient Jewish courts and to testify because they were not a person. This is radical. Here is a woman in that culture who has her own identity. Did you hear me? Now, is she a wife to her husband? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Is she a mother to her children? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. But she also has her own identity. She's out buying and selling. She's out dealing in real estate. And in verse 31, it says, even the elders, the leaders of the city at the gates, praised her. Let me illustrate. October, Deborah and I will be married 49 years. We got married when we were 6. Whenever we're around, quote, church folk, Deborah is my wife. That's when we're around church folk. Anywhere. I go to hold a meeting here where I go, and they'll look at, she is Brother Fox's wife. She's Brother Fox's wife. She is the preacher's wife. But now we have another circle of friends, and I'm her husband. You say, well, how does that make you feel? I am her husband. Gloria, did you say that or did Deborah say that? It came from that corner over there. Listen, she has her own identity. She has her own person. You can be what you ought to be at home and still have your own identity. Now, let me tell you what you can do. You can go through this passage and read it. And in every verse, here's what you're going to find out about her. Unselfishness. Every verse She's unselfish. Now, it's Mother's Day. We established that a while back. It's Mother's Day. And Mom, you're wonderful. Let me make that clear. You are wonderful. But occasionally, a mother will lie to you. Now, a man won't do this. Let me finish. Oh, one sentence and you turn? You're gonna feel real bad in a minute. A man will not do this. And this may happen at your home this afternoon. People, family sitting around the kitchen table. And let's say there's five of us. We're sitting around the kitchen table. And Mama puts a cake down in the middle of the table. But there's only four slices in this cake. And there's five of us. You know what Mama's gonna say every time? Oh, you guys go, well, I couldn't eat another bite. Well, you just go right ahead and you take this and go right ahead and you eat this. I couldn't eat a bite of it. Did you ever hear a man say that? You know what a man said? I want the biggest piece. See? You feel bad now that you turned on me, didn't you? Listen. A teacher in Sunday school was teaching little ones. And the point of her class was that God makes bad people good. And the teacher went on with this. And a little boy in the back of the class kept frantically waving his hands. And so finally the teacher called on him. And the little boy said to the teacher and the class, God makes bad people good, but he uses mothers to do it. And God does make bad people good. But he uses moms and dads to do it. Mom, look at me. Look at me. If you're not a Christian, Dad, if you're not a Christian, what chance do they have? What chance do they have? We lead the way. We point them to God. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sin, to put that off puts you in eternal danger. Eternal danger. If you're away from God, you leave here in that condition, you're in eternal danger. This morning, if you're looking to place membership somewhere, let me suggest you a place, this one. Mom, Dad, if you're not a Christian, this morning, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, this is your day. Mother's Day 2026. Come to God right now as together we stand.